Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This morning we are changing gears a little bit. We are going over to the Gospel of Luke, and I'll be reading the last part of the 24th chapter, verses 36 through 50. And if you are using the Pew Bibles, you see that that is contained on page 1644. Luke 24, 36 through 50. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my feet, my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still there, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father had promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. May the Lord bless the reading of his words to our hearts.
Thank you very much. So, a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we certainly need your help this morning because we know that your word is spiritually discerned, so we ask you to give us understanding of it this morning, even though these passages may be familiar to us, maybe hearing them for the first time. But Spirit, Lord, so we need your Holy Spirit to give us understanding and teach us through your word. We pray and act upon it with your help. Amen. Well, just finished Easter, and people around the world have been reminded the reason for Easter, not just the Easter bunny or Easter eggs, or all those are good things. In fact, Spike and I met the Easter bunny at Walmart a couple of years ago. I remember, sorry, it does exist. No, not really. This thing came out, you know, life-size Easter bunny. So the Easter bunny does exist after all. But we know what Easter is really all about: the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, him dying on the cross. But what happened to those disciples afterwards? Well, we have a documented account written by Dr. Luke here. Probably the only Gentile prophet in the whole Bible, the rest being Jewish, that wrote a documented account, a thorough documented account of what happened after Jesus actually rose again from the dead. In fact, he was around for about 40 days after he rose from the dead, 40 days, and many people came to know him as Savior, I'm certain about that. He also wrote the book of Acts as well and gives us more information. Luke is referred to as the beloved physician. You know, I just said he was a doctor. And Philemon, When Paul wrote the letter to Philemon, he referred to Luke, "Is with me my fellow worker." So Luke was also busy in the Lord's service. He traveled around with Paul, and he did a lot of research, speaking amongst the disciples that remained regarding what Jesus did after he rose again from the dead, a detailed, documented account, and containing all the facts that we need to know regarding what Jesus taught and what he did after he rose again from the dead. You can read his first letter, which we did this morning, or part of it. He tells us the things that Jesus did and what happened to those 11 disciples. They didn't get the fact that Jesus would rise again from the dead. They didn't have that spiritual discernment until he actually appeared to them in the flesh in his new resurrected body. And one day we will get a resurrected body. And he was able to eat food. And we're going to be able to eat. And we'll never put a pound on. We can eat as much as we want. We'll never put an ounce on. That's great. Because we'll have a brand new resurrected body. That's great. You can eat as many chocolates as you like. And one day we're going to have what's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to dine with Jesus. That's going to be a great time, you know. And the disciples were told by Jesus to wait in Jerusalem. He waited for the promise. The promise was the gift of the Holy Spirit, because they never had the Holy Spirit until they received it after he rose again from the dead. Also, they needed the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses, to receive the power. He said, after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, you shall receive power and be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, and then Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So when God makes a promise, Jesus is God, and he promised the disciples, he told them to wait and they would receive the promise, which they did. They didn't know what that promise was. And that's one of the hardest things to do, especially if you're naturally inclined to be impatient, is to wait. To wait. I think of that song, "Wait, wait on the Lord. Wait, wait on the Lord." I also read this morning that we are to rejoice, even in our difficult circumstances. It's one thing to say that, it's another thing to do it. But if we do, if we rejoice and praise the Lord, then somehow we don't think about our problems and the things that we go through and the struggles that we have to endure, not necessarily because it's our fault, it's just the way life is. We will have tribulation in this world, but we are told to be of good cheer. So they were told to wait. That's one of the hardest things to do. In this fast food culture of ours, we want everything. In this fast food McDonald's culture of ours, we want everything now. We don't like to wait. So-called fast food, you spend more time waiting in McDonald's than you would in a regular restaurant. But anyway, it's not good for you anyway. We want things now. And that, you know, I told you I'm going to be flying out this evening. And really, it's not fun anymore. It's not fun flying anymore like it used to be. You got to go through a lot of security checks and all that. And you have to do a lot of waiting around. And that's a job that I wouldn't like. It's beyond that counter, dealing with very difficult customers. And the story about, you know, we got stuck waiting to get served at the ticket, at the checkout, and to check in. And there was a long line, and people were getting so impatient. They were standing in line for at least half an hour. And one fella, he had enough of this. So he went right in front of the queue, and he went right up to the ticket counter. And the person there was already stressed out. And he says, I've been waiting here for half an hour. Don't you know who I am? And he goes on the microphone. He says, we've got a man here. I wonder if you could help him. He doesn't know who he is. So, yeah. So it's hard to wait. It really is hard to wait. We don't like to wait, whatever it is. But the thing is that God is never in a hurry. He's never rushed. And all good things come to those who wait. Who wait. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So why did Jesus promise those disciples? He'd been with them for about 3 years at least. It was obvious they didn't understand what he told them half the time. They didn't have the spiritual enlightenment or the power to carry out his commands. Thankfully, we do. We do. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the power now, whereas before we had no power to carry out his commands. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, then keep my commandments. But we can't do it in our own strength. It's impossible. Don't matter how strong your willpower is, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep the commandments that Jesus gave us. They needed the Holy Spirit just like we did. And down through the centuries, even now, the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us about who Jesus Christ is. But unfortunately, most people are ignorant of who God is because they haven't received that enlightenment. They've never received Jesus as their Savior. So they're in darkness, spiritual darkness, and they're lost. They lack spiritual discernment. See, we have the spiritual discernment because we've received the Holy Spirit. And those who haven't received the Holy Spirit are still ignorant. They're spiritually ignorant. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, for the natural man, not the spiritual man, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. They are foolishness to him. And they just don't get it because they haven't received the truth. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In order to receive spiritual understanding, they have to receive him. And that's why people don't understand the Word of God, because it's spiritually discerned. They don't know it's the Word of God. It's only when you become a Christian that you can read it and understand it and know that it's true. So Jesus was like with them for 40 days after his resurrection, when he rose again from the dead. 40 days. He'd been with these apostles. There was only 11 of them, because we know that Judas Iscariot committed suicide. He was never truly saved. In fact, Jesus said he had a devil, and unfortunately he did commit suicide. That left 11. And Jesus met with those disciples on at least, according to scripture, at least that we know of, 13 occasions. 13 occasions. That's a period of 7 weeks Jesus was teaching them personally the meaning of all the prophecies of old that were referring to him, and also the things that would surely come to pass in the future. Only believers know what's going to happen in the future, because we've got the Word of God. It tells us not only what's happened in the past, but what's going to happen in the future. And just imagine being with Jesus for 7 weeks. Well, we're going to spend longer than 7 weeks with Jesus. We're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. I wonder what he really looks like. I've never met him, but one day I will. What a day that will be. We'll see him just as he is, and we'll be like him just as he is, with a resurrected body like his. So they must have had many questions. We know for a fact that they did. They were asking him, Lord, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times that's been put into place. That's going to take place. It's prophesied. It will happen. It's been predicted. The word of God is true. It will take place. It will happen. But that's not your concern. What he told him to do is to be his witnesses. You are to be my witnesses. For starting in Jerusalem, where they began, then going further out to Judea, and then further out still into the heathen nations, the Samaritans, and then into the uttermost parts of the world. This is what's called the Commission, the Great Commission. It's still relevant today. He told them to be a witness. And when it says go into all the world and teach the gospel, and teach and make disciples, he's saying it means that as you are going, so wherever we go into this world, wherever you go into this world, we can be his witnesses. We are his ambassadors. We represent Jesus Christ because he belongs to us and we belong to him. They were to go into the Gentile area, the Samaritans, and take the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. He knew they were powerless to do that in their own strength. This is why he would equip them with the power of the Holy Spirit in order to carry out his command to go into all the world, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We too have been given that mandate, and we've got good news. There's a lot of bad news. I almost can't stand to turn the TV on and watch the 6:30 news or even the 6 o'clock news. There's so much bad stuff going on, but there's still good news. We still have the good news that Jesus saves. And we read, if we go to the book of Acts, in chapter 1, we can read more information of what Jesus did along with his disciples, having given that command. Acts chapter 1, again written by Luke, it's a documented account. And we not only hear about his resurrection when he appeared to them, we also have what's called the ascension. If you read verse 9, well, let's go back to verse 6 and we'll just reiterate what I said. Well, let's go to 5. Let's read the whole thing. Yeah, why not? Got some time left over. So let's read verse 5. It says, Jesus says, shall we go back even further now? Why don't we? Let's go back to verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, that's the person he wrote to, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. He's talking about, this is his second letter. First letter is the book of Luke. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, confirming what I said, and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Of course, like I said, they didn't get it and they didn't know what the promise was. For John baptized, talking about John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's the promise. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and this is referring to the ascension, taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight, and they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Who are these? We talked about the angel when the ladies went to the tomb, and there was a young man dressed in white. He was an angel. Well, we have two more here. Again, they're dressed in white. And they said to the disciples, verse 11, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. So this is referring to the ascension, where Jesus actually bodily, physically, in his resurrected body, levitated from the ground. They were on the Mount of Olives, and he ascended into heaven, into the clouds. And you can just imagine what that must have been like. He began to levitate, rise from the ground, and all they could do was watch in amazement of him doing that. As you can imagine, with their mouths wide open. They'd never seen a sight like it before, and we never would again. But to confirm to these bewildered disciples what had just happened, God sent these two men dressed in white. These men were actually angels sent to explain what had happened, because they were just absolutely amazed at what was going on. And he said that Jesus will return in the same manner in which he left. Remember, he ascended from the ground and he ascended into the clouds. And the Bible tells us, which I'll read in a minute, that when Jesus returns, we're going to meet him in the clouds. And this is called when we get raptured, not ruptured. If it didn't work, it'll be a rupture, right? It's going to be a rapture. And we're going to meet the Lord. We're going to be changed instantly. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. We're going to meet him in the clouds. And we will be like the Lord. So they got these two angels, because they didn't know what was going on. They were just absolutely gobsmacked, as they say in my home country. They were gobsmacked. Oh, you know. And then they saw him levitate. What on earth is going on? What's happening? And then they got two men there to explain to them. This is Jesus. He's going to come back in the same way he has left you. So that's what he did. And we can confirm the fact that he will come back. He's going to set his feet eventually, the second coming on the Mount of Olives. But first, at the rapture, we're going to meet him in the air, in the clouds. And to confirm that, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul explains exactly what will happen at the rapture. In verse 13, let me read it. He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant. So if you or misinformed, right? Anyone who's ignorant is misinformed. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. These are the Christians that have died. Or to grieve like the rest of men. You see, we have loved ones, and if they are Christians, okay, we grieve, but we don't grieve like, it's not as though we're not going to see them again. We will. Or to grieve like the rest of men, that people that are unsaved, who have no hope. You see, us being believers, we've got hope, not only in this world, but also the next, and we know our loved ones that were believers in Jesus, we have that hope that one day we will see them again. But those that are unsaved, they have no hope. The outside of Christ, there is no hope. Amen. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, he's talking about the rapture, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. They will receive their resurrected body. After that, we who are still alive and are left, talking about the rapture, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Are you encouraged when you hear those words? We could be raptured at any time. Are you ready to be raptured, to meet the Lord in the air? If you're not, you're not ready. But you can be. One day, Jesus will come again. He's promised. He always keeps his promise. Amen? And those of us that are saved and are alive when that happens, we'll meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord forever. Forever and ever. How long is forever? Forever. And what about you? Are you ready to go and meet the Lord when he returns? Or will you be left behind? You can miss the boat, just like Judas did. He missed the boat because he never put his trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior. You can be ready. But if and only if you receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And if you do that, and if you have done that, you will be changed forever. Your lives will not be the same again. You'll be a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You will become his disciple. And then we'll have the power, because of the Holy Spirit that we receive through Jesus Christ, to keep his commandments with God's grace. Amen? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for each one that's come out. Just love them. So blessed to be part of the church fellowship here. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you are doing, all that you will do. And help us to remember what it cost you on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Then you did die for us. You were buried. You rose again from the dead. And you gave instructions to the church. And we have the power now the promise, yours keep your promises. We can rely on that. Absolutely 100%, knowing that you will fulfill your promises, that you sent your Holy Spirit to us in order for us to be born again, to receive everlasting life, that you have prepared a place for us. You've prepared a mansion for us that is waiting. You've gone ahead to prepare a place for us, that where you are, we will be also. Help us to remember that you could return at any second, and help us to be ready to be transported and to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. I pray for somebody who's listening to this message, wherever you are, don't get left behind. If you do not receive Jesus, if you do not put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ to save your soul, who died for your sins, unless you call upon his name to save you and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you cannot be saved. But if you do believe and put your faith in him, then you'll be secure in the fact and 100% guaranteed to, when you leave this world, you'll be with him in heaven where he is now. So those who call upon the Lord, name of the Lord, shall be saved. And I hope that you make that decision, because the alternative is not a good scenario at all, to spend eternity separated from God forever and forever. So Lord, again, we're so thankful to be here. We thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us, and keep us faithful, and give us the courage as we go into our world to be your witnesses, as we represent you as your ambassador. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand to be dismissed? Yeah? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord guide you, bless you, keep you. May his face forever shine upon you and give you peace and direction and power and courage to live in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.